Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Can I Trust God? Enoch was born 622 years after the creation of Adam. Some Christians get nervous when the book of Enoch is mentioned because it is not in the Bible. However, did you know that portions of Enoch's writings are quoted in the Bible? He was a remarkable man who walked closely with the Lord and was taken to heaven several times. Enoch was given a revelation of the coming Messiah and referred to him as the Son of Man. This title was used more than 80 times by Jesus during his ministry on earth. Genesis chapter 6 reveals how fallen angels had sexual relations with human women and produced a hybrid race for which there was no redemption. Enoch recorded the sordid details of these fallen angels in his writings. This message is entitled, Living Among Fallen Angels. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. I'm going to get into my message, Can I Trust God, which is our title for this series, and the title today is Living Among Fallen Angels. Now, Enoch was born 622 years after the creation of Adam. He was the sixth generation in the bloodline of Seth. Adam and the other six patriarchs were still alive at his birth. Seth's bloodline must have been separated itself from the general population, since the rest of the world was described by God as being evil continually. And I read now from Genesis 6, 1-5. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This was not a good time to live. The time period from the creation of Adam to the end was about, matter of fact, it was 1,651 years. 1,656 years. I was out 5 years here. And during this time, the earth population had grown to approximately 600 million people. Of them, a number were hybrids. They were simply offspring of fallen angels and human women. And this offspring itself, then, they got children themselves and so on. So the human race got simply polluted. Now, why did Satan do this? You see, there's no salvation for the devil. There's no salvation for fallen angels. And Satan simply said this, if God is going to save the human race, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to pollute it. And it will force God to have a different plan, and maybe I can be forgiven and not have to go to the lake of fire. Only the firstborn son of each patriarch kept himself from being polluted. And this is really interesting. If you go and read the different patriarchs, you find out that the oldest son stayed with the Lord. But the other children that were born after that, boys and girls, they simply walked away from God and they simply fell aside. Think about this. You have a man of God, he's married, he gets his first son. His first son stays for the Lord, but his brothers and sisters after that simply take off and join the population of the earth. They join the seed of Cain. And when we had the flood, notice this, none of the descendants of the patriarchs made it out except one, Noah, his three sons, and their wives, eight people. It is said that we have a lot of children today that have walked away from God, particularly from people, pastors and elders and so on. And what they have done is they simply are tired of Christianity. They're just tired of things. And they walk away and they live a sinful life. Particularly in the South, where we have the Bible, but very strong. And I found out this, that it is very hard for children to stay with the Lord. The lure is tremendous from the outside. None of the patriarchs perished in the flood. The last one died 1,651 after Adam, 5 years before we had the flood. And I'm going to read now from Genesis 6 and verses 6 through 18. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I am created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. But Noah's brothers and sisters did not walk with God. They walked with the devil. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make you an ark of gopher. Word rooms shall you make in the ark. You shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which you shall make it. The length of it shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall you make before the ark, and in the cubit shall you finish it above, and the door of the ark shall you set in the side thereof. With a lower, second, and third story shall you make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is a breath of life among the heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you will I establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. I'm not going to read that particular scripture right now, but it says this, that at this time it had never rained on the earth. For 1,600 some odd years, every morning, in all the continents of the world, which were beautiful, lush, a mist would come up and water all the plants and the trees. There was no heat, per se. It was a very even temperature. Now, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but this is my personal thought, because it says that God simply began to put water from the heavens down, water came up from the earth. And I believe at that time that God is simply a canopy around the world in space of frozen water that simply did not let the ultraviolet rays come in. It was an even heat like you have in a hot house. And it was a pleasant time. It was a perfect place. The earth was perfect. But did people appreciate that? No. They simply sinned and sinned and sinned. It is interesting that this flood that happened at Noah, which covered the entire world, and the tallest top of the mountains simply had 22.5 feet of water over them. Take the biggest mountain in the world, tallest. Add 22.5 feet. That's how much high the water stood. No one survived that. They were breeding birds, animals, and so on. But this was not the first flood. There had been another flood. And Adam and Eve did not know why there had been a flood. But let me read that to you. It's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. And we read here from verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There had been a civilization prior to Adam and Eve, a Luciferian, when Satan was running things before he was dethroned. His offspring, because the people, the Bible talks about people living at that time, you have that in Isaiah and Ezekiel, they were drowned. So this is actually the second flood. So Adam and Eve knew, and the people knew, that the earth at one time had been covered with water. No land. They knew that. They didn't know why. They didn't know why it would have happened prior to that. Let me go back to my outline right now. It is obvious that reading and writing existed before the flood. Moses possessed different written accounts from the tribes, and he compiled information into what is known today as the book of Genesis. When Moses was in Egypt, we had 12 tribes. And each tribe leader and each family, each man of each household, they had an account. They had written down accounts, some more, some less. Moses took it all, compiled it, and that's how we got the book of Genesis. We read now in Genesis 5, and we're going to pick it up in verse 1 through 5. So Adam wrote things down. He wrote down how he was created. He wrote down the account of the creation in chapter 1. And he wrote down about the temptation that he did, that he was not tempted, but he was, and the fall. And we're reading now from chapter 5 here in verse number 1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In that day that God created man, in the likeness of God made him. Male and female created them, blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Notice now, sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, these five verses here was recorded by Seth. He didn't record his own death, so his oldest son recorded it, and that is how we got the book of Genesis. Let's talk about the book of Enoch right now. And I'm going to go back to Genesis 5, 19 through 24. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. Notice now, sons and daughters. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. Now you can imagine now, Enoch and his wife had children for 800 years. One generation pumped out after another generation. They in turn got married, they had children, they lived for hundreds of years. That's why the earth's population exploded. But I want you to see something in verse 19, particularly if you're a child, I want you to see this. If you're a child or a teenager, I want you to say this. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. He begat sons and daughters. He probably had a couple of thousands of children, boys and girls. Of all the children that he and his wife had, only one walked with God. One. All the other children simply said, I'm done with God. I'm going to live in the world. I want to have what the world has. Who wants to walk with God? That's a sad commentary. And I'm sure that the patriarchs, because if you look upon them, they lived for 600 years, 800 years, 900 years. And they're in heaven today. And looking back and saying, of all our children, only the oldest son, about 10 sons, were saved and walked with God. All the others simply walked away and said, I don't have nothing to do with God. Children, as you grow up, the pressure will be on you to leave the Bible, to leave God, to leave what you've been taught by your parents, and to walk out into the world where there's money, entertainment, all kind of things. But when you do that, you're throwing away your life. And Enoch, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch had a very specific relationship with God. He walked with him. He was probably one of the patriarchs that had the closest relationship. And if we quickly turn here to Hebrews, we find a reference to this, what God thought about Enoch. And that's in Hebrews 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. As I said before, most of the children simply perished. If you had about 10 patriarchs, 10 sons, that's all. The rest of them perished. My brother and I have a number of cousins. And we try to witness to our cousins. And some of our cousins now, that were much younger than us, are dead. And they died bitter. They walked away from God. They died without Christ. We had about 7 cousins in Salt Lake City. My uncle was a Mormon, and they became Mormons. Half of them are dead. They died and went to hell. Never knew Christ. Out of family that my brother Peter and I came out of, only one cousin accepted Christ. We led him to Christ years ago. But the other cousin simply said, you know, I don't want to hear that garbage. Don't give that. I'm not going to use the words I used. You know what I'm talking about. And that's how they died. And in hell, they're simply kicking themselves and saying, you know, was I ever stupid? What did I think? But you see, the devil will cloud your mind. Deception looks so good on the outside. And he will lure you away. And then you die. So, from the book of Enoch, we have information. I want to read Matthew 24:37 right now. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. And this is, I've read this verse 10, maybe 20 years ago. And it stood out. And I said, how were the days of Noah? Well, we knew that there were fallen angels had sex with women. But how was it? The book of Enoch tells us the details. The Bible tells us of angels engaging sexual intercourse. We talked about that. We read that in Genesis 6:4. Now, Enoch detailed that there were 200 fallen angels. 200 fallen angels who set up a secluded camp on top of Mount Hermon, which is 9,232 feet tall. In other words, they set up camp where normally people could not get up to. I'm going to go back and read from Jude 14 and 15, which is a direct quote from the book of Enoch. The little book of Jude, just before Revelation. And we pick it up here in verse number 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, is reserved in everlasting chains of the darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The leader of these fallen angels was Simaias. He knew that this project was forbidden by God, and not one to be held solely responsible, had the other 200 angels swear an oath that they were all together in there, and they were all guilty. And Simaias obviously knew that God would arrest them and hold them accountable. Now, these 200 angels, they knew this. We can do this for a while, but we're going to get nailed. This is what I want you to think about. If you're thinking about leaving Christ and going out in the world, I want to tell you this. God will allow it for a while. But eventually, the hammer will come down. And you'll be one sorry puppy. Let me take it to 2 Peter right now. Chapter 2 and verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, and to be served unto judgment. And then, in Jude, we have an additional information on them. And we pick it up here. I want to go to Jude, verse 6. And the angels but kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, his reserved in everlasting chains, and the darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. So they were eventually picked up and sent to a special place called Tartarus. If you read here, in the darkness here, the word here is Tartarus, which is a special place for these fallen angels that are kept there. I'm going to shoot this into you right now, because I think this is important, as I talked about children. I remember myself that I came to Christ at an early age, and I was going to church as a young person until I was 13 years of age, and then I fell away. And I was in a backslidden condition, and we moved to the United States in 1963. And I remember on the airplane coming over, sitting with my wife, Ina, that I heard a voice booming inside of me. You better not mess up in this new country. Because I made a mess in Sweden. Almost killed a guy, drinking, doing all kind of things. And I remember fear came on me. And I realized, I better not mess up. And so, in 1965, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. I heard Billy Graham preaching. And I recommitted my life to Christ. And I walked with him since January 1966. My brother was not saved. And he was not living a sanctified life. He was just like me, smoking, drinking, and doing the rest of the stuff that normal sinners do. And Monica was not saved either. And I had a burden for them. And I would, after I got saved, I would witness to them, write them letters and so on. And my brother would read the top of the letter, the bottom of the letter, and then throw it away. He didn't want to hear about Christ. So 1971, I came back to Sweden the first time after 8 years. And they were going to have a party for me. And so Peter, Monica were invited to it. A lot of people to my parents' house. And that night before the party, God spoke to me and said, you have to lead your brother to Christ tomorrow, or he will perish. Well, if you know Peter, you know, he is not easy subdued. He's not easy corralled. He simply says, you know, why should I do this and that? So I went to the party. We had a party there. Peter was there. And so people were, my parents had food and we were singing Christian songs and doing all kind of different things. I went over to Peter and said, I have to talk to you. I said, I want you to, let's get a new car and drive down a mile or so to the lake. We had a big lake there. And so he obeyed. We got in the car. We drove down, and we sat there at the lake, at the beach, in the car. And I said, Peter, I have a message from God for you. You need to accept Christ. And I had a little four spiritual laws with me. And he said, okay. So I said, let me go through this with you. So I went through. Now, the Holy Spirit was heavy in that car. So we went through it. I turned to him and said, now, are you ready to ask God for forgiveness, to ask Jesus to come into your life and be born again? He said, no, you're my brother. I'm kind of intimidated. I don't want to pray with you. I said, forget I'm your brother. I said, you need to do it. He said, okay. So he prayed a sinner's prayer. And he was genuine. After he had prayed and finished, he said this. You know what you just done? You ruined my vacation. We were scheduled tomorrow to go to Yugoslavia where they had very cheap alcohol. We're going to be 2 weeks on the beach and drink and have a good time. And now I can't drink. I said, praise God. Well, he went. And I believe on his way back, they go through the Alps, which is, you know, very high up, very narrow roads. And suddenly, there was a car came in behind them. Peter Monk was sitting in the back seat, and that car cut off the entire trunk of that car. And they realized there was open space behind them, and they were literally 4 inches away from being killed. That sobered up my brother. When he got back to Sweden, he called me. He said, I'm coming up right now. I want to be baptized in water. I got the fear of God in me. Why did I share that with you? You see, there's a moment in your life when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Some people will get a message one time, five times, 10 times. Some people only get one. But regardless, you want to respond. So these demons, these are fallen angels. Man can know nothing about metals. The fallen angels taught you man how to find in iron ore and copper. They instructed how to dig mines and so on. And they introduced worship of idols, demons, of themselves. And they were shown how to contact the demonic world. And when Noah built the ark, no one was surprised because they had ships before. And they were sailing on the seas. Now I want to talk about the pressure of Enoch. Enoch was taken to heaven numerous times and shown all kind of things, just like Apostle John was taken up to heaven and given the revelation we record in the book of Revelation. Enoch must have been a man of great faith who enjoyed visiting with God. It must have been difficult for him to return to earth and see the debauchery of the people, the fallen angels, and the half-breed offspring cursing God and leading humanity into sin. Let's go back to Genesis 6:5. Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of their thought of his heart was only evil continually. It was hard for him to see this. And to having been in heaven and seen the glory of God and all the beauty, and then come down on this earth that was trashed with sin. God also revealed to Enoch about judgment in the future. He also told him about the Son of Man. And the Son of Man was a term of Jesus. I'm sure the devil was aware that Seth's bloodline had not been polluted by the fallen angels. And the only way that Enoch and the patriarchs survived was through supernatural protection by God's holy angels. Think about this now. We had about 10 patriarchs and their sons. We had 600 million people that did not walk with God. Every patriarch knew this. My brothers and sisters are not walking with God. Everybody is in with the devil. It was a supernatural thing that God kept them clean. Enoch trusted in God, but it's no mention of his grieving over his children and grandchildren. Enoch had other children. He refused to bend his knees to the devil and trusted in God to the point that the Lord did not let him die, but moved him to heaven after 365 years on earth. With the arrival of the flood, the 600 million people, the descendants of the patriarchs, were drowned, and only 8 survived. Only the great-great-grandchild of Enoch survived, which was Noah, while the rest went to hell. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and cattle, and of beasts and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Can you imagine? It had never rained on the earth. Never once. Noah had been standing for 100 years and preached, repent, repent. And the offspring of the patriarchs, men and women, boys and girls, laughed at Noah and said, yeah, you built the ark, you built the ship on dry land. Where's the water going to come from? But today, when it started raining for the first time, I'm sure that they begin to notice. But you know, Noah never closed the door to the ark. It was put on the side. It was a heavy door. And the Bible says, and God closed the door. And as the water began to rise, maybe 3-4 inches, people began to remember. Noah talked about the flood. We never seen this before. And the higher the water got, I am sure that there were probably hundreds of thousands of people that simply had run down to the ark and cried, Noah, save us. And Noah said, God closed the door. As the water rise, began to continue to rise, they got all kind of different pieces of wood and things and tried to save themselves. And the water rose. And before they died, they realized how foolish we were. For 100 years, we heard Noah preach and preach and preach. And we laughed and we mocked him. And now we are dying. There are some of you that are not saved today. There are some of you that are saved that are not too happy with a Christian life. You're not going to lose your salvation unless you take the mark of the beast or you start talking about the Bible. It's not the Word of God. But you need to pay attention. Enoch lived during a very difficult time when fallen angels walked openly on the earth and the offspring became famous political leaders. And the only way the patriarchs survived this time period was through the supernatural protection of God's holy angels. We are right now living in a time of crisis in this country. We got the coronavirus. We are now being shut down. California shut down. More states are shutting down. It has never happened like this before. We don't know what's going to happen next week, what's going to take place. But I'm going to close this message by going to Philippians chapter 4. That is Philippians, the 4th chapter. And I want to leave you with a hope. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't panic. Think upon this. Christ is going to take us through this crisis. People are going to lose their jobs temporarily. Eventually we will come back. There's going to be some heartaches. People are going to die. They're not going to come back. Some people are going to get sick, very sick. It's going to be an upheaval. But I'm going to tell you this. There's power in Jesus. Yesterday, I received a phone call from a man that is part of the congregation here. His name is Patrick. And I thought he had a Bible question. He said, no, I got a prayer request. I said, okay. He said, I'm very sick. Coughing. Problem in my lungs. Nose is running. I'm very sick. Got a fever. I need prayer. I said, okay. I'm going to pray for you. So what I did was, I led him in a prayer, so I had him to pray with me. And we simply affirmed our faith in Christ. We simply rebuked the demonic forces. We commanded every germ and virus to be killed in his body. And we ended it like that. I told him to buy some hydrogen peroxide and so on. But it's a different story. And so, this morning, the devil had planned for us not to have a webcast. So he had a power pole taken down straight over from us. Praise God for generators. We back up. And so we called Patrick this morning. And I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm 180% turnaround. He said, I'm well. I'm doing well. He's a fairly new Christian. Maybe 6 months old. But he had faith. And God healed him. So this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to simply say, I'm going to stand on this. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Some of you watching are not saved. And you're worried. Well, Christ is going to take care of you. It might be that it depends on your faith. If you die, if you're saved, you go to heaven. If you live, you live. You win either way. But if you're watching and you're not saved, here's what you do. You ask God for forgiveness. You confess your sins. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, you can be saved. And you simply say, Jesus, come on in and save me. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent. And you will be saved. When we finish here, you're going to see three crosses coming up. A voice is going to come on, very nice voice of Pastor Charles Terrell. And he's going to say, my friend. And then he's going to read some scriptures, pray with you to make sure that you can get saved today. If you do that, I want you to call us, write us. I'd like to know how you got saved. I want to pray with you and encourage you. To those of you that are already saved and walking with Christ, this is the time when we got asked this, can you trust God? And the answer is, Enoch could trust God. He trusted God, and God took him. You and I can trust God for everything. And this is the time to shine. This is not the time to melt. This is the time when, as a Christian, you should stand up and begin to testify and witness and pray for people and minister to them. In my closing, let me say one thing about finances. A lot of people are going to lose their jobs temporarily. You could be laid off. Some people have been laid off. This ministry, we simply rely upon God's people keeping us afloat. We live from week to week. I had a person call me first Saturday and said, "How are we doing?" I said, "Well, we had a great week last week. We met payroll. We did fine. I don't know what we will have next week, but I have faith that God will be there." So here's what I want to tell you. If you lost your job, of course you can't give. If you are working, we appreciate you helping out. Some of you on YouTube, you have never given to the ministry. You're still working. Please send in a gift and keep us going, because we need to be on the air at this time. And I need to pay my workers here. We need to pay for airtime. So if you're watching, you still got a job, please help us out at this time. And if you do, we'll be back here next Sunday. And in the meantime, remember this, God is still on the throne. There's no crisis in heaven. And God has a solution to every problem you and I will face. Here's Pastor Charles to close our service.
Father God, I'm reminded of the passage in the book of Hebrews where it says that by two immutable things, one, that God cannot lie, and that two, when he makes a promise, you must be able to keep it. So Father God, we stand upon your word, the things that you have written, that they are true, that we can rely upon them, that they are indeed fact, that everything that we read today is as it happened. There is no fabrication. There is no fake news in the Bible. The things that you have revealed to us, they are the truth. And so, Father God, help us to apply this now. Help us to understand the words of Jesus when he said that as it was in the days of Noah, so it will become in the coming of the Son of Man. And Father, we see the technology played out here in front of us today. We know what mankind is capable of. And the biological warfare that every country has, and the coronavirus is a modified specimen. And so, Father God, we see things that mankind is capable of. Help us, Father God, not to live in fear, that political leaders want to shut everything down. And the prudent thing is to simply sequester yourself. But, Father God, give us boldness in this time. Give us opportunities to witness to people. Father God, just give us divine appointments to share the gospel. And Father God, also for Christians to stand up and to display the supernatural power of God, now is the time for the church to shine. I'm reminded of Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Father God, help your church to be bold at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the second part in the series, Can I Trust God?, and was entitled, Living Among Fallen Angels. Enoch was born 622 years after the creation of Adam from the bloodline of Seth. He was one of the patriarchs during the time before Noah's flood. Some Christians get nervous when the book of Enoch is mentioned because it is not in the Bible. But did you know that portions of Enoch's writings were quoted by Jesus, Peter, and Jude? He was a remarkable man who walked closely with the Lord and was taken to heaven several times. Enoch was given a revelation of the coming Messiah and referred to him as the Son of Man. This title was used more than 80 times by Jesus during his ministry on earth. Genesis chapter 6 reveals how fallen angels had sexual relations with human women and produced a hybrid race. Enoch lived during a turbulent time and recorded the sordid details of these fallen angels. It must have pained him to watch almost all his children walk away from God. Yet, Enoch kept his eyes upon the Lord and did not let circumstances dictate his relationship with God. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1748. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.